Our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Then going on to verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then going on to Romans 13, starting at verse 11, it reads, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is near now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Yeah, today is a good day because it's sunny outside. It's the 1st of December. What could go wrong? You all smile because you know in a few weeks we're having this voting taking place. You all know that you began shopping for Christmas. I struggle every time I'm getting a gift for my wife because I really think I know her. Then I go and I realize that actually there's a lot to learn. So it's a... I don't know how many of you are in the same place like me. Where are you thinking, I love this person so much, but I'm just struggling to find a gift to give them. There comes Nathan. Yeah. Okay, so the message today is hope. Wow, what a word. Hope, okay? You're hoping for something. You're waiting for something to happen. You're expectant. The Christian faith is a faith that is heaped in hope because we see in part. So everything else around us hinges around this aspect of what has been promised. This is not like some friends of ours who'd say that he promised to marry me and then he let me down. She promised to do something for me, and she let me down. It's this aspect of we live in a world where promises matter, and hope for the Christian faith is a central aspect to developing a relationship with God. So when we hear this aspect of hope, I hope that we can stop to think and ask ourselves, where have we put our hope? This morning when you walked in here, were you worried about anything? Did you go to your spouse? Did you go to your friend? Did you go to some of your peers? Did you spend even a second to go to God? Where does your hope lie? We read about Isaiah's message, which is written to a people that needed answers. They had too many questions. They had heard about the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and they were wondering, when is it going to be our turn to see this God who they say he created the universe, who they say is a deliverer? We are waiting to see the manifestation of everything written in the scriptures. They grew up reading the Torah. They knew about this God of old who split the sea and people walked across. They're saying, we've heard about the goodness of God and the promises to his people. Our hope is in this same God. Where is he? So Isaiah writes and says these promises that we read about today. For unto us a child is born and a son is given. But what's interesting, wonderful counselor. Now, counselor, the other word for counselor is advisor. It's funny that today, counselor, we kind of talk about counselors as people we go to when we are so stressed. I just need counseling. My life is falling apart. Don't tell me what to do right. Just listen to me. Our counselors of today are people we go to just give everything and don't expect to be advised. Because it's not their opinion that matters. It's them knowing where you are. So when we hear wonderful counselor, we're thinking, go to God and just mourn and mourn and mourn and run as fast as you can. Here it says, I am a wonderful counselor. Now, I don't know what you think about Dominic Cummings. I don't know how you think about the parties that we've got. But we know that whether you believe what he says is true or not, he's in a position where he's giving advice. And that advice is influencing decisions. Who you go to for advice matters. You wake up one morning and you feel so stressed. Who you go to first for advice matters. This causes us to wake up and say, actually, who are my friends really when I need help? Because bad counsel corrupts good morals. We could talk about mighty God. Okay, tell me about gods. There are many gods. People are worshipping all kinds of things. I mean, where Viji was born, I think in India, we know that there's quite a lot of deities. So the language of God itself is controversial. Because who told you that your God is better than my God? You were born in a Muslim community and you believe that Allah is God and Muhammad is his prophet. Okay, and I was born in India and I believe these aspects are different. And I was born in a Christian home and they say Jesus is God. Whose truth is the truth? That matters greatly. Christians, we are called to understand that truth matters. And for Isaiah to say that, not just is he a wonderful counselor, he's the mighty God. He's saying, actually, this is not just a kid being born somewhere. It's God. This would be controversial for Jewish people who are waiting for a Messiah who would come and rule with power and give them everything they've been reading about. And then Jesus comes and is peaceful. And they're thinking, this is not right. No wonder there is still a waiting in some of Jewish communities for the Messiah to come. This God, he said, I am the mighty God. Before Abraham was, I am. It is Jesus saying these words in the New Testament. So if you have any doubt about the deity of Christ, I want you to put this in your heart. Jesus is God. It may be confusing because of the Trinitarian concept, but guess what? All the other gods of this world have nothing on him. He is who he says he is. He's the only one who's seen the Father. He says to them, no one has seen the Father except I. He makes a claim that is controversial. So the Jewish folk, some of them may believe that Isaiah 7:14 saying a virgin birth will happen. Yeah, that's about the Messiah. But when it comes to this point, they struggle. Everlasting Father. We all know about fathers. We've heard about fathers who've been the father of the apartheid movement, Mandela. He is great. They look up to him and then he dies. And then you have to look for another father. We've heard about Mugabe and, father of Zimbabwe, and he dies. Then we hear about the father of the civil rights movement. They all come and go. Some of us have experiences of fathers that have not been very good to us. You could say, I don't know my father very well. We don't talk. So even this language of father itself is controversial. Who is a good father? We struggle to come to terms with the aspect of family relations. Who is going to be the protector? We've heard about the House of Commons, the father of the house. How is because you give them status. We give people status. But the Bible says there's only one everlasting father. And when you read the Vulgate, or in St. Jerome wrote something in the 4th century and writing to people who couldn't speak quite Hebrew, and the interpretation of everlasting father was father of eternity. So it's not the same. God the Father didn't die on a cross. Because otherwise you would say, your God died. But God the Son died on the cross. This is the Father of eternity. If the cross hadn't happened, eternity wouldn't be possible for all of us. So he says, whoever believes in this God who has been revealed in flesh as Jesus, though his body perishes, yet he will live forever. That's why we're not scared of the sting of death. Because if anything happened and this building collapsed on us, we would open our eyes and we're at peace, one with God in eternity. We are sojourners, we are travelers. That gives you hope to stop being scared of death. We do many things to stop death, but it's going to come on one another. The question is, do you know the Father of eternity, who, even though your body is destroyed, can revive your soul and give you peace forever? That's why we should continue making a call to folk who don't know Jesus to come and know the Father of eternity. The last one, Prince of Peace. Now, we've heard about princes everywhere. I mean, last week, Prince Andrew, we hear about all these titles that people have. We've heard about the Prince of Arabia, or we've heard about Prince Harry. We all have our favorite princes. They let us down. In the days of the Roman rules, we know that they wanted blood, they wanted to conquer. They were conquering places. They were talking about princes coming in and then overtaking and doing things that people were thinking, you're just wanting blood and possession. This one is a prince of peace. When he's being born, babies are being killed. It doesn't mean that he's not peaceful. He says, the peace I give, the world cannot grant you. The self-help programs cannot grant you. You could do all the yoga in the world and still feel you're empty. You could do all your diet in order and still feel crap about your life. You could go to all the cycling clubs that you can go to. There is something about your heart that needs God more than anything. You could be the best person in the world, but if you don't have this peace with God, you find it hard to feel comfortable in your own shoes. Hope. So, where do you go to seek counsel? Big question. When you have challenges, who do you go to first? Some of us, the first thing we do, we have funds. We go to our app to the bank to say, oh, I'm already in credit. I can't do anything about this. Before even you think about God, we already go to these self-help programs. And I think wonderful counselor says something powerful. Second question. Do you doubt Christ's deity? Sometimes we've grown up in Christian homes and we know of God, but we struggle when we meet our friends in our schools who claim all things about God. And we struggle to come to terms with the truth of the deity of Christ. I want to encourage you. This Christ is the only being that has been here in the flesh, died and came back to life, and is living forever at the right hand of the Father, looking up for you and for me. No other person has done that. Do you struggle with the deity of Christ? Is the devil brought doubt inside your heart that you struggle even to pray to him? May God encourage you. What about life after death? What about the state of the world? Just what happened in London this week? What's happening in the Arab world, what's happening in Yemen, do you struggle to say, how can a good God be present when there is war? You're asking the wrong question. There cannot be peace if people's hearts are not at peace with God. You could have all the UN Council meetings. Yes, they're doing good. It's good to fight for justice because that's our way of representing Christ, his ways. But we cannot find peace. You could have peace for one day, but eternal peace is only when people's hearts are at peace with God. My plea to us is, if you're here, and you could be in church all your life and still have no peace with God, I encourage you, if you can, before I speak to a gentleman who hangs out here and he keeps saying, Douglas, the world is falling apart. Look at the water we drink. It's all contaminated. Look at the systems. I told him, all that can be wrong, but is your heart right with God? Because you could try to fix stuff in the world, but if your heart is separated from him, it's just a clean grave. Jesus said these words, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." He's taking the Pharisees. They're arguing about him, saying, "You're saying you're the Son of God? We're going to kill you because only God can say that. How can you say? Because saying you're a son of God makes you equal to God. And he says, "But you search the scriptures all the time. They talk about me. You claim that you're finding them to find eternal life. I'm here." Prophecy is important. When he came back to life, he also spoke to people on the road to Emmaus and told them, from Moses to the prophets, everything is talking about me. That is hope. God coming in flesh. That was the biggie in the Bible. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. The challenge is, in the Old Testament, we don't see the name Jesus written plainly in English. In fact, it wasn't written in English. But we don't see the name of Christ there. But we see something like this, Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." There's a name. You will call him this. Now, naming people is important in our culture. We like names because names show us a bit of our identity and where we come from. So, I come from Uganda. In fact, if there are Ugandans in here, because we have 22 different tribes in Uganda, so 22 different tribes and languages in one country called Uganda, if I had your surname, if I asked you, what's your name, and you said, "I'm Sembuze," I would know where you come from. I would know where your ancestors come from. So, I don't need to know anything else apart from your surname, and then I'll be able to trace your history. I'll be able to stereotype you and say, you are the people who did ABCD. It's interesting. Names box us in. And so in the Old Testament, we don't see the word Jesus, but we see the ways of God. We see the character of God. I ask people this question. If we did know your name, if we'd not know that you're Malcolm, if we'd not know that you're Brenda, if we'd not know that you're Steve, would we be able to characterize you? And what people say about you, would it be a blessing and a life-giving sentiment? I asked this to Lynn this week, saying, "Lynn, if we didn't know you're called Lynn, how do you think people would describe you?" And I think Jesus, the name Jesus Christ, synonymous with Messiah, or the one who saves. This is talking about the ways of God that are giving him a name. His name is that he's going to be called God with us. And then we see other aspects. For example, in Uganda, I think this is called Kasubi Tombs, where they buried all the ancestors, all the kings who were in royal family. They're buried there. And what's important is when people go there, it has significance. They can see their history. So we have culture and tribal names that kind of distinguish us as different people. But then we have also social identities we create. Are you Scottish, are you Welsh? Because when you hear the debates happening on the TV, it's all about, yeah, we want this. It's all about me and what I want. It's not about, actually, what would be great? What are the ways that will make us live happily? It's all about, you've done this for you. Do this for me. And God is challenging this. Say, I'm God over all the nations. In the Bible, biblical names are essential. So you could have, for example, I don't know how you named your children or how they came to name you, but in the Bible, we have this language of how you call someone is important because it defines their purpose. Sometimes it defines the circumstances with which they were born or the promises that were given. So to say, what's your name is important. Today, kids are called names in school and it's damaging. But the question for us right here is, do you know his ways? And if you have him in your heart, are those ways evident with the way you live your life? We can talk about global warming and climate change and everything, but if our ways are apart from his ways, it's going to be hard to find that transforming power. This is Judges. Samson. The mother of Samson was barren, couldn't have a child. And so, the story goes, then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, what is your name? Let me just pause there. This community couldn't even pronounce the name of God. It was so holy. There's a respect in what someone is called, that God was so holy that you don't even pronounce his name. That's why you see most of the Bible talks about he will be called this. Attributes of him that set him apart. But it says, the angel replied and said, it is too wonderful for you to understand. That's the context within which Isaiah says, I'll give you a hint. Okay? And it says, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I want to pause for a minute. I've got about maybe 5 minutes. Do you know God? Okay, you may not know his name, but do you have hope in the God who created everything that we see? Do you know him? I wouldn't want you to leave this place this morning and start December on a bad note. The people of Israel waited for the fulfillment of prophecy and they missed it. Advent is about kind of journeying, getting into their shoes of waiting. And so today we talk about hope. Without the scriptures that we fail to read regularly, we'll struggle to find hope. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will ask my Father of anything. We read about a man called Stephen who was stoned to death. And he says, I see heaven open. I say, Son of Man, trouble and pain is going to be in the world. We cannot get rid of trouble and pain. He says, in this world, you're going to face many troubles of many kinds. But the question is, do you know God who supersedes the cancer, the bereavement, the disappointment? Do you know him? My prayer is that our young people will be shown that parents, you can be so stressed with work, but you can show them that even with the stress at the heart of your decisions, God comes first. God is the way, the truth, and the life. He's an advocate. He speaks on your behalf day and night. He speaks on your behalf day and night. The many counselors in this world, they won't speak for you. When stuff goes wrong, they'll walk. We hear promises about Brexit and about stuff, but no one knows the facts from beginning to end. Only God, he said, is the Alpha and the Omega. And the question is, do you know that he can meet you where you are and offer you something greater than anything humans could offer you? The second one is, he's a God. He's a mighty God. There is no other apart from him. The third concept is that if we died now, if you know him, you will be with him and us in eternity. Please, I humbly put this before you. Don't doubt this presence. He is the firstborn of all those who are being raised from the dead. That you all could know that this present life is not the end of it all. And then finally, that he's a Prince of Peace. We cannot have peace in the world unless there's peace in our hearts. The First World War, we've just finished paying for you. They say the government has just finished paying for the cost of the First World War in just the last year. So we're going to have to pay for now the Second World War. There's wars are going to be present. The change is in us espousing the Prince of Peace in our hearts. So that the way we live with one another, people will know there's something different about you. So I'm going to pray for us as Advent begins, as we wait for Christ to become flesh, even in the communion. So I'm going to invite Martin in a minute. He's going to be doing our communion. But there's this concept of God made flesh. He is here now. So if you're here and you have mental health issues, I'm just going to be honest. Mental health issues are tough, and I think counselors are great. You can go to them. But my prayer is that you will also point us to Christ. If you're here and you've been in many different religions and you're struggling to contemplate the diversity, is it Islam, is it? I would invite you to search the scriptures. If you're here and you're scared about your loved ones who died, or you're scared about walking the streets of London because you work there and you think someone may bring a knife on me, I want to encourage you. He, God, knows the day when you're going to be with him. You don't have to live in fear. You're here and you're waiting for an operation. You're here and they've diagnosed you with all kinds of diabetes, and you're kind of thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. God says you can live with the knowledge that he that keeps you doesn't slumber. He is present every day. And finally, if you're here and you struggle to sleep at night, maybe we could pray that through the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled, that in your heart you'll have peace with God. Let's pray. Heavenly King, you stand apart. You stand alone. In terms of your power, there is none like you. God, you have spoken to us through the prophets. You have come in the flesh as your Son, Jesus Christ. You promised us the Holy Spirit, that if we ask of you, we'll receive you. Father, I pray that of all of us who are here, that you will give us faith in the truth that you've already declared, that you'll give us hope, and a hope that never disappoints. Holy Spirit, will you break the lies of the enemy over our lives, that we will all embrace the truth of Jesus Christ, who is the source of all knowledge and all wisdom and all truth. God, as we live our lives, will you be the center? and you teach us to have your ways emanating in every part of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Martin.